Those of all our families who are watching on live stream, we welcome you this morning. All the way from Brisbane or around the Queensland regional areas or in PNG or somewhere around the world. Yeah. In England, UK, yeah. Praise the Lord. In Hawaii, they're all watching this morning. We welcome you this morning. I hope and pray will touch you and inspire you and get you going for the day and for the week, and not just for the week, for the whole life according to kingdom principles. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, we have been on the topic of once saved, always saved. Nonsense that people preach in church this season that we live in. And the Bible tells me that in 66 scriptures in the Bible, it tells me and warns me to walk according to God's commands and principles. Amen? We in the kingdom of God have no excuse whatsoever because He has given us the Holy Spirit to enable us to live life according to what Jesus commands. That's why Jesus said, be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. There's a lot of doing in considering our salvation with fear and trembling. There's a lot of doing. You are required to partner with the Holy Ghost to walk a life of holiness and righteousness. The part of the message that I preached last week, and go and listen to it again, because I went and listened to it again, and it just fine. Because sometimes I release the Word of God, and to listen back to it, it's amazing. And so I encourage you to go and listen to it. I encourage you to go and take the scriptures down. I encourage you to study it for yourself. Don't take my word. Go and study it for yourself and pray that the Holy Spirit will teach you. That's why it's called a teacher. That's why it's called the comforter. That's why it's called the helper, because He is the one that teaches you and reveals the truth of the Word of God to you. We are people of the kingdom of God. We have no excuse whatsoever to walk like the world is walking. Amen? Because He has given you the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for Your word this morning. Lord, You said we have heard correctly that You will watch over Your word to fulfill. I pray this very simple prayer that Your word be fulfilled in the lives and the hearts of Your people this morning. Father God, I thank You. I pray You ignite this word in our spirit. That Father, our mind, will, and emotion will be infused with the Spirit of God. Father God, that we will become doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. Because God, You command us to do things that You command us to do, not just to hear it. Father, I pray that You hide me, that Your people hear Your word and Your word alone. I pray Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. A lot of people like to use this scripture, for I am convinced that neither all these things that are outside, for I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, neither angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, Christ Jesus. Amen to that. But Paul never said those external things are going to take you out. Paul says the internal things will take you out. Paul never said that false prophets living under the law, sin, disobedience, anger, lust, unforgiveness, or anything else in yourself. He said those things outside can't take you out, but the things internal, things that are inside of you that you carry, it can remove you from eternal life. God commanded us in 66 verses to look at it and to study it, and to understand that in the kingdom, you don't live casually. You live because you know there is consequences to disobeying the word of God. Hallelujah. So I'm introducing this message this morning by bringing a question to you again. The last question I ask, and I always ask a question. The message this morning is choose the narrow gate. It is very powerful. Here's another question that we should ask ourselves. Am I striving to gain eternal life through the narrow gate of trusting and obeying Christ? It's a good question, and it's a sobering question for all of us to answer. Ask ourselves these questions and answer it according to the Word of God. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 14, our first scripture to introduce this message, it says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Few, everybody say few. Few, that means very remnant of people find this narrow road. Jesus was talking about something of utmost importance, the way we make choices and choices that are made now, and how they will impact eternity, our lives through eternity. Hopefully by now you understand that easy believism, an idea of going to heaven simply because you have intellectual belief in Jesus Christ, is a false teaching. Somebody say amen to that. That will end in shame and destruction of those who believe it. In Luke chapter 13, verse 23, the Bible says, someone asked Jesus, "Lord, are only a few going to be saved?" Listen to his answers. And I'll give you one answer in John chapter 10, verse 9. He says, Jesus says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." But there is a great answer he gave in Luke chapter 13, verse 24. He says, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. And once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open for us,' that he will answer and say to you, 'I do not know you.'" Hallelujah. "And you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you the truth,' or 'I tell you, I do not know you. Where you are from, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity.'" The kingdom is about relationship. It is not just about believing God or believing Jesus. It's about obeying his commands and his word. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 14, verse 22, the apostles explain that we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. The reason that entering the narrow gate is that it costs you everything. Everything. Hallelujah. And we have seen it by now in teachings. It requires what? Surrender of our life to Jesus, not just intellectual assent. Choosing to believe doesn't get you anywhere. That is impossible to do without the grace of God. He is the one who gives us the ability to even desire this and to what? Actually do it. But only after we have what? Surrendered to him as Lord in faith. There is no such thing as Lord, Jesus my Lord or Savior. It's only Jesus my Lord and Savior. There is no such thing as salvation without surrender. You don't get salvation just from believing. You can't isolate John 3:16 and tell you that that's my word. That if I only believe in Jesus, I will be saved. It requires the doing. It requires you getting up. Jesus doesn't forgive you. You forgive somebody. Jesus doesn't come and knock on your enemy's door and says, Ben said that he forgave you. No, you do it. You get off your ass and you go to that person's house and you say, "I am sorry for what I have done to you. Forgive me." This is something you need to tell people. You can't just say, Jesus has done it all and I don't have to do anything. No, there is a lot of doing in the 66 scriptures that I read that you need to do it. You need to get up and you need to go and do it. He's already done the finished work. Now you do it. Why? He's given you the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And if you get the conviction of the Holy Spirit in you, that's what God is saying. Go and do it. If you come and stand here and say, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, I worship you, God," and you remember that your neighbor has something against you. Leave your hallelujahs and your prayers. Leave it at the altar. Go and say sorry and forgive the person that has something against you. And come back and offer your hallelujahs and your praise the Lord's and your Christian cliches, and He will forgive you. We don't take God's word for granted. He is the one who gives us the ability to even desire this and actually do it. Luke chapter 14 verse 33 says, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciples." All means anything that has become an idol before God. Anything that is stopping you from worshiping God. Pride is an idol because it will block you from forgiving somebody. Unforgiveness becomes an idol in your life, and you worship it, and it becomes an idol in your life. What is it that is stopping you from following Christ through the narrow gate? Hallelujah. And contrary to what we want to believe, Jesus does not just do it all. Yes, He empowers us by His grace. We still have an important part to play. We partner with Him by His grace, and we make every effort to live godly. Your self-will cannot help you to live godly. Your willpower cannot help you to live godly, except the Holy Ghost in you, the Holy Spirit in you. That's why He said, "Do not do anything until I have what? Send you the Helper." Because without the Helper, it is useless to walk in forgiveness. It is useless to try and do something that you cannot do by your own sinful nature. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. "Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives." We are to do something. We are to what? Perfect holiness. That is a doing, not just a hearing. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us be what? Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in" what? "Fear of God." We are to hold firm to our faith. That's a doing. That's just a hearing, or Jesus has done it for me so that I don't have to do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2. "By this gospel you are saved. If you" what? "Hold on firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have" what? "Believed in vain." Believing doesn't get you anywhere except by doing and obeying the word of God. The demons and the devils believe God too. The disciples that used to follow and believe Him left Him. He turned around, looked at the 12 and says, "You too, are you going to follow them?" They said, "You have the words of life. Where are we going to go?" And they stayed. They even died worse death than Jesus. Hallelujah. Because they chose to do it. We are to hold firm. We are to what? Resist the devil. That is a doing, not just a hearing. James chapter 4, verse 7. "Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." We don't just hear it and say, "Oh, Jesus has done it all, and I'm just going to sit here and wait for the devil." No, He says, resist him. You got to do it. Resist him. Hallelujah. You don't have to try and fight him. Just resist him, and he will flee from you. We are to avoid bad company. Oh, that's a good doing. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." Show me your friends and I'll show you your life. Hallelujah. Where's the thing here? Sorry. Getting hot in here. Sense the presence of God in here. Hallelujah. We are to forgive others. We are to forgive others. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, great fruits of the Spirit." You don't trust nobody until you see those fruits inside of them. A lot of people say to me, oh, you know, I can, I will never trust them. Sure, you can never trust them until there's fruit in their life. I don't trust nobody. I can tell you, I don't trust no human being. I don't trust you until I see fruit in your life. And you should not trust me until you see fruit in my life. That's how we live in the kingdom. Hallelujah. We are to live worthy of the call we have received. We are to live. That's a doing. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, you walk worthy of the calling which you were called. And we are to, what? Love each other. That's a doing. Not just a hearing. John chapter 13 verse 34. And a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Friends, that is a partnership with the Holy Spirit. That is a partnership with Jesus. By His grace, we're able to do that. We do it. We don't just come to church, sit down and hear it. That was a great sermon. Oh, you get out there and you do it. If there's something in your life you need to get rid of it, get rid of it. Do it. Get the doing going on in your life. Part to play in your salvation as well. Doing is obeying Christ. Obedience is the greatest power and the greatest against any works of the enemy. If you start walking in obedience, we don't just say, Jesus has done it all. Anything. This is striving to enter the narrow gate. And I'm afraid a very few people will be entering the narrow gate. Jesus, when He spoke about the great falling away, He's not talking about the world. He's talking about us, the church, His church, the body of Christ. Hallelujah. That's why freedom in Christ must allow us to get rid of stubborn sin in our lives. That is why the Holy Ghost is such a great teacher and a helper. Now, I want to speak on some verses that has been taken out of context in churches, that it has confused many and caused many to stumble. Because people use verses like that to justify their own life, their own sinful life. People love to put verses as a shield against their doing, their hidden sin in their life. John chapter 8, verse 31 to 36. Jesus was talking to the Jews, and to the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, if you hold on to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered Him and said, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it. Forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus says we must be free from slavery and sin in order to achieve and attain salvation, heaven. You have been marked. That doesn't mean you have it yet. That's when you know the truth, that narrow gate. Hallelujah. God of us, I used to think like that. I used to think that I can never, because of the grace. The grace, I understand, is to bring me out from the world of darkness into the kingdom. And He gave me the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit, if you have the Holy Spirit, you are my disciples. You are from God. Romans chapter 7 confuses so many people because Paul is speaking in present tense about this struggle with sin. And a lot of people use Romans 7 and 10 to confuse people and justify their own walk in sin. When he says in verse 14, I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin, he is describing who he is on his own without the Holy Ghost, apart from the Spirit of Christ in him. Not his actual present spiritual conditions. Notice that the law, the words law and commandment appear 16 times in Romans chapter 7, verses 7 to 25. And underline those things and study them. But the Spirit is not mentioned once in Romans chapter 7. Then when you read the next chapter, which is Romans chapter 8, the Spirit appears 13 times in just 17 verses. Why is the Spirit missing from Romans 7? The reason is that Paul is not describing who he is apart from the Spirit without the Holy Spirit. As I have been on the topic of Holy Spirit the last four Sundays to teach about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, a born-again, spirit-filled Christian is actually two people. You are two people right now. You are part you and part Christ by the power of the Holy Ghost that lives in you. Right now, I'm part Ben and part Jesus through the Holy Ghost that lives in me. I too can say in the present tense, I am unspiritually sold as a slave to sin. That perfectly describes me, Ben, the sinful nature. I discussed these three when I was doing this illustration before you. The spirit, mind, emotions, and the body. So, I am Ben, sin described me as the Ben that was the sinful nature. That was when I was without the Spirit. However, Ben has been put to death. How? Through obedience to Christ. You put the old self to death when you walk in obedience. Romans chapter 6 verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away so that we would not no longer be slave to sin. Romans chapter 8 verse 2. It says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, or the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free. Free from the law of sin and death. I love Romans. Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. That's tough. That's very tough. That is why I can reckon with my sin nature. To me, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, it says, those who belong to Christ, Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. A lot of Christians, including pastors, have been using this scripture and teaching it out of context, mainly to justify their own sinful walk as Christians. Paul is not saying that his total present condition is still a slave to sin. Otherwise, he is completely contradicting what Jesus taught above and what he himself wrote in Romans chapter 6, verse 8. He is only talking about the part of him who lacks the power to obey. Paul lacks the power to obey, but the Spirit that is in him crucifies. Hallelujah. The topic of the Holy Ghost is still going through. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. A Romans 7 Christian either does not have the Spirit of Christ yet, or like the Jews above, don't yet know they can be free. True, what? Obedience to Jesus. It's about relationship. It's about having this relationship with God. Not just believing God. Everybody believes. It's those who have relationship and obey his work and his word are the ones that he calls disciples. Are the ones that he calls that belong to him. And so they will continue to do the evil they do not want to do. Romans chapter 7 verse 19. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. However, Romans chapter 8 Christian is under the control of the Spirit. Romans chapter 7 Christian is under the control of the flesh. Romans chapter 8 Christian is under the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He may still stumble occasionally, but he is not a slave to sin. Hello, somebody. People plan their sin whilst they're in church. It's Christians. Plan sin. A slave to sin cannot go to heaven, which means Paul would not be there right now if he were still a Roman servant Christian or a believer. 1 John chapter 3, verse 6 to 8. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or know him. How do you know Christ? By the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in you. There is a conviction inside of you that tells you that you are connected and you know Christ. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is what? Righteous. Just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the work of the devil. Church, contrary to false teachings, Romans 7 does not provide justification for us to live in sin. There are pastors saying, see, Paul struggled. He couldn't stop sinning. When you hear this from pastors or Christians, you know that man is still misinformed and not free himself. When sin manifests itself through behavior, that is actually the fruit of a deeper slavery to sin. Listen, we do not have a weak Savior who is unable to break the power of sin in our lives. He's already done it. Then he says, now go and sin no more. Go and live righteous. Be holy like my Father in heaven, who is what? Holy. It is not hard to do without the Holy Spirit. I tell you, I said it before, if you start to listen to the Holy Spirit, that is in you will be so strong that it will just cause you to walk in obedience in the Word of God. Hallelujah. The reason why people walk not in righteousness is because they're not listening to the Holy Spirit. Number one, they don't have a prayer life. Number two, they don't read the Word. Number three, they don't ask the Holy Ghost to help them to overcome ingrained sin. There are well-known pastors saying that any Christian who says he is not a Romans 7:19 Christian is what? Self-righteous and deceived like the Pharisees. Romans 7:19 says, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Are you kidding me? My friend, please listen to me. It may not be your experience yet, but I myself am not a Romans 7:19 Christian. I used to be with the Holy Ghost. I used to be like that too. Or it's just me. Everyone is so holy. We all thought like that. We all think like that. I used to be one of those Christians until God says, no, enough. It is time to walk holy and blameless before me. For a couple of years, calling myself a Christian, I was a Romans 7 Christian. I am speaking from experience, from my lifestyle. Hallelujah. We take grace so much for granted until we start reading the Bible again. Read it again and read it again and allow the Holy Ghost to teach you. Bible says I couldn't stop doing any of those things that I hated doing. Today, however, thank Christ for that. That anything else He has ever done for me, there is freedom by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine a pastor saying that Christ didn't really set him free and that John 8:36 is a lie? So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus says that if I set you free, you will be free indeed. Would we call Jesus a liar to his face because we preached Romans 7, Christianity? We are doing just that. No, let God be true and every man a liar. Hallelujah. Let me be clear. I can't stop the temptation or my flesh's desire to still sin. I cannot stop that. It's knocking at the door. Also in your door, it's knocking. Sin is knocking at our door every day. You cannot stop it. It's coming. But because my sin nature is still there, but it is not what? The boss of me anymore. Why? Because I have the Holy Ghost living inside of me. That's why through the power of the Holy Ghost, you can reject the knock on your door. Jesus said to Peter, the devil is knocking at your door right now, Peter. I don't care how many years you're a Christian. He's knocking at your door. Sin nature is still there. But because of the Holy Ghost, we are able to overcome those things. That's why Jesus said, you are what? More than conquerors. Because I have done it. We don't have a sin. He's taking care of that already. But we have a sinning problem on earth. Why? We are still living on this earth, working today. And the enemy is still knocking at the door. Hallelujah. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is so strong now in my life. I still have the capacity to be tripped into sin, but it is out of character for me to do so. I am here to do His will and not my own. Doing the will of God, I can tell you this, is simply obeying Him. Those who do His will are His disciples. Obedience, obedience, obedience to the Word of God. There is nothing else. Why? Because the Spirit of Christ is in me, is stronger than my sin nature. And I access that power by grace, by what? Humbly depending on God, Holy Spirit. Because my willpower will always cause me to make the wrong decisions every time. God is so gracious that He gave us a will to choose from right or wrong. Between you and sin, you still have the power. Then He says, just in case, let me just give you the helper, be able to help you to achieve that. As a result, I am no longer do what my sin nature wants to do. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 17 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. When we don't have the Spirit, we don't rely on the Holy Ghost to lead us, we will always do our own will or the devil's will. The devil's will is really disobeying God. We use the same power that He gives us to disobey Him. We use the same power that He gives us to make choices in our life. He didn't give you that to make your own choice. He gave that so that you can do His will. That His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 24 to 25 says, those who belong to Christ, Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. I said I never sin anymore. I would be a liar. But I would also be a liar if I said there was some ongoing sin that I can't stop doing. We get caught off guard. Backsliding is caught off guard. It's not planning your sin and going to sin. You get attacked by the enemy every time. But the Bible says what? Ask for forgiveness. People say, you don't have to forgive anymore because God has forgiven me. No, you have the obligation to do it. Jesus don't go knock on your enemy's door and says, Ben just sent me here to tell you that He forgave you so you can go back to church. Oh, you do it. As I said before, get up your comfort zone and your little pride zone and your little disobedient zone and go. Get up. Paul says, I beat myself into what? Submission. You don't just sit there and expect God to do everything for you. He's already done it. Now you've got to go and do it. Obey the Word of God and go and do it. Give and it shall be given back to you. Do it. You want to see the blessing of God? Hallelujah. It takes time, and I certainly did not get here without Lord, because we are called to be holy and free from sin. I want to close by saying this, friends and family. Freedom comes as we continue this journey of obedience to His teachings, empowered by His grace. You are the source of living water. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. I had to kill a lot of giants in my life before I can stand on this pulpit and speak to you. I don't want this job. It is a job full of responsibilities. It is a responsibility higher than yours. Why? I am here giving the word to you. And before I did that, God says, go and kill those giants. He says, all the other giants in this promised land that I'm going to get you through, that's mine. But there is one giant that you need to do. This is a giant of unforgiveness. Get it done. I'm telling you this morning, if you have it, get it done. You think you've seen the blessing of God, you ain't seen nothing yet until you start to walk in forgiveness. All this rubbish about, oh, you don't have to forgive. Ask for forgiveness anymore because you're... He says, go and do it. Get up. Go and do it. You have an obligation to fulfill. Hallelujah. You are the source. This is one of the many scriptures like Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And still don't do what God asks you to do. There is conviction in your heart to do something. Go and do it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. Not anyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. That scripture changed my life forever. I stopped using grace as license to sin. You know, I discovered the fear of God. And I discovered grace when I came here. But it doesn't mean that I can still continue to walk like what I used to. To represent God and to reveal glory. When Pastor Papi was praying and says, God, when we take this communion, let your glory be revealed through it. The healing that many of you have received from God, that is to give Him glory. That is not for you to destroy your life. God reveals His glory through your faith. And through the healing process, the power of healing that came from the Holy Ghost through your life, you reveal God like that. You represent God well. Hallelujah. John chapter 8, verse 31 to 32, it says, if you what? Abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, make you free. Truth comes when you abide in the word. When you obey the word. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandment. Oh, we love you, Lord. You'll walk. God says, you're not my disciples. You're just a Christian. A disciple follows every word that comes from my command. John chapter 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I hear what the Father says. And He says, I send you the Holy Ghost. And He doesn't say anything except He hears from me. Hallelujah. That's why He says, I kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Where Jesus makes it clear that there is more to being saved than just believing in your mind that Jesus Christ the Son of God. Just believing Jesus doesn't save you. A true kingdom citizen must know and follow Jesus' words. You know, tragically, this sound doctrine has been replaced in majority of our churches today with watered down and false gospel because people fear man too much to speak truth. And people build their own little kingdom. They don't want to lose a congregation. Oh, this man gives a lot of money to me and I should be careful what I speak. Ah, shut up. Preach the truth. If you're going to preach the truth. Hallelujah. The word of God is not confusing on this issue. Paul's teaching is. Even demons believe Jesus is the Son of God. James chapter 2 verse 19. When he came, that's why he shut this demon up. When he came down, they said, we know who you are. You are Christ. And you know what? Jesus, shut up. You're a liar. And I don't want my testimony coming from a liar. Get out of him. Jesus don't get no testimony from liars. You can't stand here and say, I believe in Jesus and live in sin. Jesus said, no, don't go and represent me. I don't want no testimony from your mouth if you live in sin and try to say you're a Christian. Hello, somebody. Isn't that strong enough for you? Oh, he's strong enough for me. I'm going to go and listen to it again. Get hit by that big pen. Hallelujah. A true love for God and Christ and true saving faith is the evidence by turning from sin and obedience to the commands of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 26, verse 20, and 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Go read for yourself. Study the Word of God. When you truly understand the work of the cross, my friends, and the sacrifice Jesus made for your sins, and the forgiveness that He offers you, saving you from hell, and coming to live inside of you by His Spirit, it becomes your desire to obey His commands. Keep His commandments. Obedience apart from faith in Jesus does not save us. You can just obey and not have faith. That's what the Pharisees did. They obeyed every law, but there is no faith and there is no true relationship with Christ. Religion is a dangerous thing, my friends. And a lot of people now are living like that. They believe in the Word of God. They believe it, but they don't walk in it. They don't have a relationship. They keep laws. That is the spirit of religion, which attempts to achieve righteousness with God apart from an actual relationship with Him. Everybody say relationship. Look at your neighbor and say relationship. That's what God is asking from us. Nothing else. Nothing more. If we're going to have relationship, see, Jesus said, how can you love your neighbor that you can see? Oh, how can you hate your neighbor that you can see and love God that you can't even see? Eh? Oh, that's hallelujah. Think about the Pharisees who kept the law to the letter, but who had no faith and no love for Him. They're too busy trying to end their right standing before God by carefully following all His rules without actually honoring and living for Him in their hearts. That approach is impossible and evil. In their hearts, they boast, I have kept God's law and I will be able to boast before Him that I did. This is also exactly the way the Muslims live. They are law followers. Follow every law. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift from God. You have received a gift. Paul says, I have not attained it, I've received it. Not yet. I'm working towards that. I'm looking forward to that. Hallelujah. For the voice of Jesus when He says, come in through, my good and faithful servant. I pray that this church will be like that. I pray that when we stand before God, God will say, Anna True, my good and faithful servant. See, all I'm saying to you is, church, just obey God's word. Just obey whatever that has been bringing to us. Obey it and walk in it. That's all. And He gave us the Holy Ghost to help us to do that. However, since faith is always evidenced by obedience, if a person has no desire to obey Christ's teachings or has no fruit, they would be wise to what? Examine their faith to see if the Spirit of Christ is really living in them. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? It says, unless indeed you are qualified. Friends, we run a race. And God wants us to win the race. God's Paul says, there are a lot of people running this race, but He says, only one attained the prize. Only one. That to me reminds me that it is a remnant thing. It's only the remnant of people that will enter through this narrow gate. Let's not take God's word for granted and take grace for granted. Kingdom is living everything that Jesus wants. Jesus says, and one of the scriptures always challenged me, he says, he lifts the standard up. He says, you have heard, do not commit adultery. But he says, but even in the kingdom, seeing is another level up. So Jesus requires us to walk according to kingdom standards, more higher than religious standards or the world standards. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for the challenges that come from your word. Thank you for the Holy Ghost that speaks the truth to us. Father, I pray that we are people of obedience. We want to be people of obedience, regardless of what. Father, we are people that do not isolate scriptures or God and use it as an excuse for justify our own walk in unrighteousness. Lord, I pray that every word. You said men cannot live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every word, not just one word or isolation of word of God, but every word. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, that you live in us. Hallelujah. That you enable us to achieve and do the will of the Father on this earth that you have placed us in. We understand grace brings us into the kingdom. And grace is still out there for those who are living in sin, for those who are living in ignorance, for those who do not believe, that grace is still there. Your grace is hovering over a Muslim temple right now. Your grace is hovering over a Buddhist temple right now. Your grace, oh God, is for every sinner. That is the same grace that brought us in, that by grace we have been saved. But Father, we're in the kingdom now. We're in the kingdom, and when we are in the kingdom, we obey. We walk in obedience in every word that comes from you. I pray that this church, every man, woman, and children, every family, those who are here this morning, receive this word, oh God, with joy and gladness in their heart, knowing that they must go out and do the doing, not just hearing the word, oh God. Father, you said be doers of the word, not just be hearers of the word. I pray the conviction of the Holy Spirit, Lord, right now, in the hearts of your people. Father, let the word burn, O God, inside the spirit. Ignite it, O God. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, I pray, not just fuse the spirit, not our spirit, but our mind, our will, and our emotions, where the battle is always at, where decisions are made, O God. I pray that we will make decisions based on the word that comes by the Spirit of God that reveals that through us. I thank you for your wonderful blessing upon your people this morning. And I pray the wonderful prayer that Moses prayed upon the people of Israel. God, that prayer came from you. You said, Moses, pray this prayer upon the people. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 to 26. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. Be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance towards you. Give you peace. Shalom, shalom, peace. That surpasses all understanding. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. All that has been restored on the cross. Your marriage, your relationship, your finances, blessing in your life, your health, your healing, your need, your necessity in life, nothing missing. It's all been restored by the power of the cross, blood of Yeshua, the finished work of Calvary. Father God, I pray over that, over your people today. We give you thanks, give you praise, give you honor and glory. Yeshua's mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you all to stand. And I want to pray for Israel this morning. Hallelujah. Before we close, let's bring the apple of Lord's eye before the throne of grace this morning. So we stand with Israel. Hallelujah. Papa God, we thank you. Lift your hands, and I want you to pray. In your own words, pray to God. Hallelujah. Father, I pray. Lord, we bring the nation of Israel before your throne of grace. Father, we know that every time there's a war, Lord, upon the nation, we know that Michael is there. Angel Michael is there with the host of angels, fighting the battles of God. Father, you have fought battles for Jehoshaphat. You have fought battles for Joshua. You have fought battles for Moses. You have fought battles for Gideon. You have fought battles for David. And you continue to fight battles, O God, for the nation of Israel. Lord, I pray, O God, and I bring Benjamin Netanyahu before you. Lord, I pray the members of the Knesset, O God. I pray the people of Israel. I pray that there is a shalom, shalom peace that is upon them today. Lord, I speak your word in Psalm 121, that he who watches over Israel never slumber nor sleep. I will lift up my eyes to the hill, for where does my help comes from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let his foot be moved, your foot be moved. He will keep you. He who keeps you will not slumber nor sleep. Hallelujah. Lord, we send your word, O God, over the nation today. I pray your blessing and your protection upon every man, every woman and children, that no missiles or none of those things that come from Hamas, Lord, will touch the people of the nation, O God. Surround your, Lord, to your wall of protection by the power of your angels, O God, that is surrounding that nation right now. Keep him safe, O God, in the palm of your hands. We stand in Israel today, Lord, on that covenant, Abrahamic covenant, O God, understanding that whosoever blesses Israel shall be blessed, and whosoever curses Israel shall be cursed. Father, we stand on that. We understand the relationship, that there is no replacement theology whatsoever. These people, the Jews, are still your people. Hallelujah. We have just been engrafted into the vine. Hallelujah. And we stand with them and pray for your blessing and your protection upon that nation. Shalom, shalom. Peace be upon Jerusalem today. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people shouted and said, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Thank you. You need some prayer. There's things in your life that you need some help in dealing with. Please come and see us. Don't go out of these doors until it's been dealt with. Amen? The altar is open now, but we'll do the announcements. But I'm available to pray with you if you need some prayer.